Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Friday, November 27th, is the feast of St. Virgilius, Bishop of Salzburg. And these are today's headlines. The Bishop of Assisi calls the faithful to pray for peace in Ethiopia. The Church in the Philippines is continuing its 9-year preparation for the 500th anniversary of the arrival of Christianity in its lands. And Saturday's ordinary public consistory for the creation of new cardinals will be unusual, if not entirely unprecedented. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Our top story today: Bishop Domenico Sorrentino of Assisi is inviting the faithful to pray for peace in Ethiopia, as conflict between federal authorities and the regional government of Tigray State continues. Father Benedict Mayaki tells us more.
Christians all over the world are invited to pray for peace in troubled regions this month, and particularly for Ethiopia, where the escalating conflict in the Tigray region has lasted for several weeks. This was the appeal of Bishop Domenico Sorrentino of the Diocese of Assisi in a statement on Thursday. The bishop also announced the resumption of the monthly prayers for peace in Assisi, inspired by the historical interreligious meeting for peace held there on the 27th of October 1986. The town of Assisi in central Italy is the birthplace of St. Francis and is known as the City of Peace. It has since become a symbolic location in the Church's continuous invitations for peace and universal kinship. Bishop Sorrentino explained that the population caught in the conflict in the Tigray region lives in a situation of great instability between reprisals of armed groups and the intervention of the national army. This conflict, he warns, risks spreading to the entire region of the Horn of Africa. The bishop also highlighted the nation's already struggling economic system, whose negative effects are further exacerbated by the disruptions caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. He said that if peace is not only the absence of war, we will also pray that the spread of the pandemic ends as soon as possible. I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.
Meanwhile, Ethiopian Prime Minister Abiy Ahmed held talks with African Union envoys about the situation. Nathan Morley has an update on the latest from Ethiopia.
The African Union called for an immediate halt to hostilities on November the 10th, but the conflict only spiralled further out of control. Now, Abiy's army is currently poised for a final offensive against regional forces in the Tigray region. 3 weeks ago, he deployed the National Army on an offensive against local troops in Tigray after accusing them of attacking federal troops. He said the military would bring an end to the fighting in the region and remove its leadership, which his government regards as being illegal. As it stands, the Tigray People's Liberation Front, or TPLF, which holds control of the northern region, still refuses to surrender its rule. The TPLF dominated Ethiopian politics and controlled its security for the better part of 3 decades, until Abiy rose to power in 2018, beginning a power struggle between the former rulers and the new leader. Now, Abiy's forces are near Mekelle, a city of 500,000 people. The TPLF said its forces would stand firm as soldiers dug trenches and prepared fortifications. Over the last few weeks, thousands of people have died and more than 30,000 refugees have fled to neighbouring Sudan. Reports suggest this conflict is already spiralling into Eritrea and destabilising the wider Horn of Africa. On Friday, the UNHCR said that nearly 100,000 Eritrean refugees in Tigray could run out of food as early as next week if supplies cannot reach them. The UNHCR says that a plane carrying 32 tons of emergency aid have already arrived in Sudan, and another airlift with 100 tons was expected on Monday. The United Nations are hoping to raise $200 million to cover food, shelter and other urgent needs for refugees, with plans to help up to 200,000 people over the next 6 months. On Thursday, the French foreign minister met with his Ethiopian counterpart and called for urgent measures to protect civilians as the humanitarian fallout from the crisis worsens across the region. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
Next year, in 2021, the Church in the Philippines will be celebrating 500 years since the arrival of the gospel in their lands. Beginning in 2012, the Church has been on a 9-year preparation for the fifth centenary, with each year focusing on a specific theme and aspect of the Church and Christian life. The Philippine bishops have chosen Missio ad Gentes as the theme for the upcoming pastoral year of 2021. Robin Gomes has that story.
Keeping in mind the centenary year, the Catholic Bishops' Conference of the Philippines, CBCP, has dedicated 2021 as the year of Missio ad Gentes, the Latin for mission to the people. CBCP President Archbishop Romulo Valles of Davao released a pastoral letter for the inauguration of the pastoral year, which will take place on Saturday, November the 28th. The Christian faith arrived and prospered in our land through the dedication and heroic sacrifices of thousands of men and women missionaries from various parts of the world, notes the pastoral letter entitled Becoming Jesus' Missionary Disciples. They treasured the gift of faith they had received and desired to share this gift with others. The overall theme of the 9-year preparation for the fifth centenary is Gifted to Give. This giftedness, Archbishop Valles says, motivated generous missionaries over the centuries. It should also inflame the hearts of all of us today to engage in mission here at home and in other countries. Missio ad Gentes. We pray for a missionary renewal of our church, both at home and beyond the borders, during the celebration of the 500 years and into the future, the bishops urge. In relaunching this missionary thrust, the pastoral letter urges two Christian virtues, joy and mercy. Let the joy of faith be revived, because God's mercy never ends, urges Archbishop Valles, citing Pope Francis. We must not end up stifling the joy of mission, both here at home and in other lands, he urges. Speaking about mercy, the Philippine Bishops' President again cites the Pope, stressing, mercy is God's identity. In our parishes, communities, associations, and movements, in a word, wherever there are Christians, everyone should find an oasis of mercy, he says. I am Robin Gomes.
From Europe, Hungary and Poland's prime ministers have vowed to uphold their veto of the European Union's next budget, along with its massive coronavirus pandemic relief fund. In Budapest, both leaders said they oppose a mechanism that ties payment of funds to principles of the rule of law. Stefan Bass has this report from Budapest.
Hungary's and Poland's leaders are furious over the European Union's effort to link funds allocation to respect for the rule of law. EU critics have singled out both nations for their perceived efforts to limit the independence of the media and the judiciary and their alleged trembling on human rights. The dispute has seen Poland and Hungary block 1.8 trillion euros, more than $2.1 trillion worth of EU funds. That includes hundreds of billions in coronavirus relief to be dispersed to those suffering most under the pandemic's weight. Heard through an interpreter in Budapest, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán defended their decision to veto the new EU budget.
We're going to unify our arguments and join forces in this debate. Hungary will not accept such a proposal, which is unacceptable for Poland. What's on the table, under the name of rule of law, is not the rule of law, but rather the rule of the majority. And since we have a debate on many issues with other EU member states, when it comes to migration, national sovereignty, and also gender, I can't put Hungary at risk of being constrained by a simple majority on such issues that Hungarians cannot accept.
Standing next to him was Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki, who shares Hungary's concerns.
We are standing in front of a new challenge, in front of a totally new mechanism. Due to its political implementation, it is motivated by political decisions and could even lead to the disintegration of the EU.
On Friday, the Polish Prime Minister also confirmed to German Chancellor Angela Merkel that Poland was ready to veto the new European Union funding. In a statement on social media, he said a veto is necessary as Brussels must first find a solution that, in his words, is good for the EU as a whole, not just for some of its members. For Vatican Radio, Vatican News, I am Stefan Bos in Budapest.
Returning to church news, picking up Pope Francis' appeal to young people on the 32nd World Youth Day, in which the Holy Father reminded them that young people also need the wisdom and vision of the elderly, the Dicastery for Laity, Family, and Life is launching an initiative called A Gift of Wisdom as the Church approaches the Christmas season. In a statement on Friday, the Dicastery emphasized that in spite of the particular climate in which we're living due to the pandemic, young people have the opportunity to receive a special gift through bonding with elderly people, many of them living alone because of the ongoing health crisis. The Gift of Wisdom initiative comes after the success of the July 2020 campaign, The Elderly Are Your Grandparents. During that campaign, the Dicastery collected virtual hugs sent by many young people to both their own grandparents and to adopted grandparents. With this latest initiative, however, young people from all over the world are invited to send a message to the elderly and to receive in return the gift of their wisdom. More precisely, the Dicastery proposes that young people post on social media a memory, a piece of advice, or a gift of wisdom that they have received from one of the elderly with whom they have formed a bond in recent months. We'll have more on that initiative in coming days. Finally, 13 men are preparing to be created cardinals on Saturday in a consistory called by Pope Francis. But COVID-19 restrictions promise to make the event slightly unusual, although not entirely unprecedented, as Devin Watkins reports.
Pope Francis announced just over a month ago that he would create 13 new cardinals at a consistory on November 28th. The news came as a surprise, not least to those men called to serve the Church and the successor of Peter in a special way, to the point of giving their own blood. For that is what the color red in their distinctive dress symbolizes, their willingness to sacrifice themselves usque ad sanguinis effusionem, to the point of shedding their own blood. The cardinal designates come from all over the world, all 5 inhabited continents, and most have come to receive their red hat and cardinal's ring from the Pope's own hand. But 2 of them, Cardinals-elect Cornelius Sim of Brunei and Jose Fuerte Advincula of the Philippines, are unable to make it to the Eternal City. Travel restrictions put in place to curb the spread of COVID-19 has them grounded at their homes in Asia. They'll still receive their distinctive insignia, but at a later date. And they'll even get to live their special moment, as many of our own are experienced these days, online via a special live stream. That physical distance makes this Saturday's consistory unusual, but not unprecedented. Back in February 2014, another cardinal designate got a special dispensation to skip the in-person consistory due to age and ill health. Cardinal Loris Francesco Capovilla was later capped in red and his finger ringed by the Dean of the College of Cardinals. One other 2020 oddity of this event is the now usual limitation on in-person participants in St. Peter's Basilica. Another is a ban on the long-standing custom of post-consistory congratulatory visits to the new cardinals. So, as Cardinal-elect Jose Advincula said upon hearing the news, Pope Francis's new cardinals are men of the peripheries, and some of them are physically stuck there, at least for the time being. I'm Devin Watkins.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. We'll also be broadcasting the Ordinary Public Consistory for the Creation of Cardinals beginning at 4 o'clock Rome time tomorrow afternoon. Many thanks go to our producers and sound engineers in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.